talking today with Sterling Liddell from the Rabo Bank. And Sterling, let's talk about several things. I know you're a research analyst for Rabo. And when we think of land values out in the country, there's a lot of speculation that we simply are in a bubble. There's some fear out there that maybe we're going to see eventually some of these land values really come down at some point. Where are we really with land values across rural America?
Well, Ron, agricultural land, as everybody has seen, has been a very strong investment over the past 5 to 10 years. Especially over the last 5 years, it's increased. The drivers of that have been higher commodity prices and low interest rates. Right now, we're still in that same cycle, and so a lot of people are wondering whether or not we're in a land bubble. Based on our definition of what a land bubble is, which is a commodity or an asset that is not supported by its fundamental value, we are not in a land value at this point. Now, the fact that we are not in a land value bubble does not necessarily mean there isn't risk with land investment, that there can be adjustments down. However, right now, those high commodity prices and low interest rates fundamentally support the value of the land where it is.
When we think about values from one region to another, are there particular regions that we're doing especially well in versus other parts of the country?
Well, this is another reason why we are a little bit more reluctant to call this a bubble. The land value has been strengthened very strong in areas that have experienced the highest commodity prices. So Midwest as the epicenter, particularly the Dakotas, Iowa, Illinois area, where corn is very prevalent, corn leading this commodity charge that we've had over the last 5 years. Other parts of the country have followed along down to Kansas and then into Oklahoma. And in the South is starting to come along now in terms of its land value increases. But the epicenter really has been in the Midwest.
And you mentioned corn. Obviously, ethanol has a role to play there, right?
There are several things that are driving commodity prices. Ethanol is one of the major new demands that has entered the scene in the last 5 years. However, we also can't discount the fact that China, over the last 5 years, has been in an economic liftoff period. And this has been the steepest period of time that China has experienced GDP growth, draining, in some cases, the world of resources and really pressuring the resources that are being produced.
You mentioned China. Obviously, huge, huge consumer of agriculture goods, whether it's the ones they produce or somewhere else in the world is produced. What is the outlook for our dealings with them? It seems like they always, when they come in, people get excited.
China is an enormous consumer. China has the potential to be an even larger consumer. They are out of arable land. They have a very difficult challenge to keep up with their demand. At this point, China in the last 10 years has gone from negligible soybean imports to 57 million tons, which is 60% of the world's soybean export. They have the potential to continue this as they modernize their agriculture, especially their animal livestock, and need more scientific rations, which means more corn.
Finally, as we think about some of the some of our domestic segments of agriculture, beef industry big for our Southern Plains folks. Obviously, the dry weather of 2011 has really altered the landscape for our beef producers.
Well, starting on the demand side of beef, demand in the United States has been declining. However, globally, it has been increasing. A lot of that has to do with these emerging markets like China. Also Southeast Asia, that have been emerging in beef consumption. At the same time, this drought that we've experienced here in the United States on the supply side has largely emptied out a lot of lots within the Texas and Oklahoma area, where we generally 25% of the herd size is in Texas, which has represented about 50% of the slaughter over the last few months. with very strong indicators of draining that supply. So in the future, with this increased demand globally and strong demand globally, coupled with the reduction in supply, we anticipate very strong beef prices. After all of these animals that have been moved out of the Texas area get through the system, we anticipate a very strong drop-off that will potentially bring us to record prices in the second, third quarter of next year.
Any fear in your mind that we're slipping a little bit as far as critical mass on the number of beef cows in the United States? I know a lot of folks in the industry have focused on the low beef cow numbers.
Systemically, our herd size has been getting smaller since it peaked back in the 70s, 1975, I believe. This has continued on. Animals have gotten bigger, but the mechanism for producing these, the cow-calf operations, have also gotten smaller, and there hasn't necessarily been a strong movement to rebuild the heifer size. As Texas seeks to repopulate capacity for feedlots, this will put a significant amount of pressure on the cow-calf industry. We anticipate it'll be about 4 to 5 years before we'll be able to rebuild the herd in any significant degree.
Sterling Liddell of the Rabo AgriFinance Group. He's a research analyst for those folks, and he visited with us at the recent National Association of Farm Broadcasters annual trade talk. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.